Most of you know Brother Arthur and his bride, Lauren. Arthur came to our church almost a year ago. It's hard to believe it's been a year, but he has been a great servant of the Lord, a great encouragement to me and our church. And thankful you can come and preach for us this morning, Brother Arthur. So you come and just give what God has placed on your heart. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Pastor.
Amen.
All right, well, Colossians chapter 3, if you have your Bible and want to get out, go to Colossians 3. Thank you so much, Pastor, for just the opportunity to speak this morning. Really excited about looking forward to what the Lord has laid on my heart today. And I want to thank you all really so much for praying for us and the teenagers this week. We did have a great week. You know, it's funny, you learn a lot when you're in a van full of teenagers for about 8 hours, a couple trips. And then when you're in the dorm with teenagers and you're eating meals with teenagers, you get to learn a lot about each other. You get to learn who snores. You get to learn who sleeps through everything. You get to learn who really, really, really likes ice cream. You just get to learn a whole lot of stuff about teenagers. We had a blast. We had a wonderful time together. A lot of laughs, a lot of memories. And if you hear of any weird things that I did this week, they're all not true. No, I'm just kidding. They're probably all true. So, but we had a blast this week. I really do want to thank you for praying. The Lord used our speaker this week, Brother Kenny Baldwin, just to speak to really all of our hearts. I was encouraged. I was refreshed. I was helped this week just through the preaching of the Word of God. And for those of you teenagers who didn't go this summer, I hope that you'll make a decision to go next summer to camp. When we get ready to go, it's an absolute blast just to get away for a week and to hear some good preaching, have a lot of fun, play some crazy games, and just to grow closer together as a group. So we had a wonderful time, and I'm thankful for that. And you're in Colossians chapter number 3. If you would stand with me just out of respect for the reading of the Word of God. We'll just read a few verses this morning, Colossians 3, and we'll start in verse number 1. The Word of God says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." Really want to focus on this morning is that phrase in verse number 2, set your affection on things above. Lead in with a question before we pray this morning is, what or who has your heart? What or who has your heart? Let's pray this morning. Dear Father, Lord, we love you. And God, we're just thankful for your goodness and your grace. And Lord, we're just thankful for how wonderful, how kind you are, Lord. We're thankful just for your goodness and your glory. Lord, we're thankful for salvation. And God, we thank you for a Sunday when we can come and we can worship you. We can learn more about you. We can, Lord willing, grow closer to you through this service, Lord. And pray that you would speak through me today, Lord, that you would just empty me of self. And that, God, you would take first place, Lord, and that our hearts and our minds and our lives would be turned to you this morning. And we'll thank you for it, Lord. We love you. We praise you and pray and ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I think of that phrase, you know, what has your heart? You know, growing up as a teenager this past week just made me think a lot just about my teenage years, especially hearing Kenny Baldwin. I think I got a picture of me hearing Pastor Kenny Baldwin when I was about 15, so I was about an inch shorter. I haven't grown much since then. But I remember just thinking a little bit about my teenage years and thinking of some things that had my heart. You know, growing up where I did in California and just growing up in the city, sports was a huge deal for us. And me and my brother, that was really what had our hearts all day, just about every day. We were thinking and concerned about football, about baseball, about what team was playing that day or that next Sunday, about how we were going to get involved, whether it was playing video games or playing outside or trying to do something. You know, sports had our heart. We were obsessed with it. We were consumed with it. We'd get back from school, and at school we'd play as much sports as we can. We'd come home, we'd do our homework as quick as we can. Then me and my brother, we'd go throw the baseball, we go throw the football, we play tackle football on the trampoline, we do everything that we could to play sports all the time. You know, we'd play and it'd get dark, we'd come inside, we'd eat some dinner, we go play video games. What are we playing the video games? We play sports. We just play sports 24/7. We were obsessed with it. I mean, we'd be, you know, begging our parents for a new football or a new glove for Christmas, for our birthday. That was really, during our growing up years, what had our heart. I tell you something that didn't have my heart as a young person. It was playing the trumpet. Now my parents, they had that, they bought me a trumpet, they got me some lessons, they were playing for it, and our teacher and my parents, they had a rule, we had to practice for an hour every single day. Now if you saw my face, you probably thought I practiced for 10 hours and my lips were bleeding. It was my least favorite thing to do in the world. And I played it for as long as I could. I enjoyed it at first, it was great, but after a little while, you know, you might hear this phrase, my heart was just not in it. It didn't have my heart. I wasn't consumed with it. You know, sure, I did it for a little while and I had some fun doing it for a little bit. But after a while, you know, I really did not care to play the trumpet. For a few months, of course, you know, I asked my parents if I could stop. I asked my parents to be taken out of lessons. And eventually I got my wish. I remember going to my parents and just telling them, you know, my heart's not in it anymore. You know, what has your heart this morning? You know, I'm sure most of us have maybe met somebody or talked to somebody who just maybe they got caught on to a new fad or a new hobby, a new activity, and that was something that had all of their attention. They go to work, they be with their family, but all of their money, all of their time was spent on that hobby. It was something that had their heart. It was something that gripped them, something that they just loved to do. This past week, as we went to camp, one of the first questions the speaker asked all the kids during his message was, why are you here this week? So what do you want? What's your aim? What's your goal? Why are you here for this week of camp? You know, I think of this morning. You know, why are we here at church this morning? You know, why do we come and, you know, dress up as nice as many of you have? And why do we bring our Bible? And why do we come and sing along? Why do we put money in the offering plate? Why do we come and hear from the Word of God? Why do we come to church? And that is in relation to, does God have your heart this morning? Are you here today because you love God? And what has your affection? We could break down different parts of our lives. You know, we go to work because, you know, you have to earn money. Maybe you have a hobby or you do something with your family because it's something that you're supposed to do. Maybe you go to church. Maybe some of your teenagers, kids, you go to church because your parents make you go to church. Maybe you come to church this morning because it's the good Southern thing to do. Maybe you come to church today because it's something that you've been raised doing and you know that you're just supposed to be here and you're supposed to open up the Bible because that's just the thing to do. Some things we do out of duty, but other things we do out of personal affection or love. Our Christian life, being here at church, opening up the Word of God, should be something that we do because God has our heart. Do you love God this morning? We talked a little bit about, you know, my obsession with sports as a kid. You know, it had all my attention. Had all of my focus, had all of my treasure, had all of my time. Does God have all of your focus this morning? Does God have your treasure this morning? Does God have your time this morning? Have you set your affection on things above, which is God and His glory and His purpose? Or is your affection here on this earth? Now look at these verses. In verse number 1, it says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Verse number 2, it says, set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. It says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Really what we see here is one main thing, is set your affection on God, and not on things here below. So often, we set our affection on climbing the ladder at work. So often, we set our affection on temporal things that if we look at them, they really do not matter that much. Me as a teenager, sports. So often, we set our affection on things, just the accumulation of material possessions, a new boat, a new car, a new truck, something new that we want. And that is what takes up our time. And that is what consumes our energy. And we're more consumed with everything going on during the week. And we're more consumed with the temporal things of this world, whether it's worldliness or whether it's things that maybe are not exactly bad, but they're not things that are eternal. And we're more consumed with that than God. And my prayer today, for all of us, myself is included, is that we would set our entire affection on God. Not just that we would love God on Sundays. Not just that we would dress up and come to church on Wednesday nights for prayer meeting. Not just that we would say, I'm a Christian, and I wear my tie, and I got the fish sticker on the back of my car. Not just that we would say, I'm a Christian, and I love God, but that we would show it by the way we invest our time, by the way we invest our treasure, and by the way we focus our hearts, that it would be on Jesus Christ, in Him alone. Today I want to look at three things to set your affection on. As we look at these verses that say, set your affection on things above. Number one, I want to focus this morning, set your affection on the person above. What is this verse speaking of? Well, first off, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, if you have been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, if you have been saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you have been born again, if you have been blood-bought, if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then our goal should be to set our affection upon Him. Set your affection on Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you've never set your affection on Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here and you're a visitor and you've never really gone to church. You never learned much about God. That's all right. But I want to encourage you this morning is learn who God is. See God for who He is and learn to love God, because there is nothing better in this world than setting your affection on Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Over the past few months, Pastor has been preaching over the names of God. Do you know who God is? Your God is Abba, which means Father. God is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. God is El Shaddai, God Almighty. God is El Elyon, God Most High. El Elohim, the everlasting God. Elohim, the Creator. God is Jehovah, the self-existent one. God is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. God is Jehovah Nisi, our healer. God is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. God is Jehovah Rohi, our shepherd. God is Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. God is the Prince of Peace. God is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is here. God is the one who always has been, and the one who always will be. God is the Ancient of Days, the Lord of Heaven, the All-Powerful, the God of creation. God is the Amen, the author and perfecter of our faith. God is the Comforter, the Cornerstone. God is the Everlasting Father. God is the Faithful and True Witness. God is the Governor of Governors, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings. God is the Great I Am. God is the Master. God is Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. God is Jesus, which means Deliverer, Emmanuel, God with us. God is the Messiah, who is the Promised One. God is the Lamb of God. God is the Lamb, which taketh away the sin of the world. God is the Light of the world, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. God is our Mediator. God is Wonderful. God is Mighty. God is Counselor. God is our Savior. God is the Lover of my soul. God is the God of mercy, the God of grace, the God of love. God is the propitiation for our sin. God is our Redeemer. God is our Purifier. God is our Refuge. God is the way, the truth, and the life, and God is our resurrection. And as Christians, we know these things and we understand these things. And these different names of God, they mean something to us. Yes. We're thankful for them. When we can say God is our Redeemer, we understand that means that God has purchased us. Yes. That God in His love, when He died on the cross, has set us free from sin. And as Christians, we set our affection on God. And we look at these names of God and we say, wow, I love my God. Well, I'm thankful for my Savior. I'm thankful for my Provider. I'm thankful for my Shepherd, because of all of the things that God means to us and all the ways that God has blessed us. But have you here today believed on God? Or have you not yet set your affection on God? Let me tell you, if you've never set your affection on God, if you never saw God for who He is, it means that there is a God who has created you in love. That before God formed you, He knew you. He's the ever-existent one. God says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made.
that God made you with a purpose. You are special. You have meaning and you have value in God's eyes. Not only that, but it means that there is a God who loves you completely. There's a God who loves you unconditionally. He doesn't discriminate. He doesn't decide whether or not you can go to heaven. God doesn't look at you and say, oh yeah, you can go to heaven, and but not you. No, God has offered to you His love, which is infinite, which is ever-existent, which is unconditional. God loves you. God loves you even though you've done wrong against Him. Even though you have spent your time and your life not seeking after Him. And even though you have not yet believed on Him or set your affection on Him, God loves you more than anybody in this world could ever love you. You might be wondering, does God really love me? You mention all those names and you say God is love and God is merciful and God is kind. You say God is wonderful. You may say, is God really that to me? Oh, yes. God loves you. God loves you so much, you're not insignificant to God. You aren't worthless to God. God knows you. God knows every hair that is on your head. God knows every single thing about you. God knows the best and God knows the absolute worst. Yet He still loves you with an everlasting and complete love that will never fade away. You may have heard people say that God just wants to judge you and send you to hell, but that couldn't be further from the truth. The Bible says that God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God loves you. God cares about you. When we set our affection and we look at God who is in heaven and we look at Him with love and we look at Him with a heart that wants to know Him and a heart that wants to be closer to God, and when we set our affection and say, God, I love You. I want to follow after You. I want to be Your child. It is with an understanding. Then you know what? I have sinned against God, but He loves me anyways. I have failed God time and time again, but He sent Jesus Christ to die for me. Oh, even after I believed on Jesus Christ and been saved, God has forgiven me over and over and over again, and God has given me mercy, and God has given me grace, and God has given me blessings. Even though I am not perfect, God is still my provider. It's for many of us who know that God is our healer. That, oh yes, I was born in sin. I made a lot of mistakes. I've done a lot of things that were wrong according to God's Word. But God saved me. But Jesus Christ died on the cross and took my sins and paid for every single sin that I ever committed. And then He offered to us salvation. And praise God, He didn't just offer us freedom from hell, but He offered us cleansing and forgiveness of our sins. Yes. And we look at God and say, He's my healer. We look at God and say, He's my provider. Not only did God just, save my soul, but He provides for me every day. I become a child of God and He takes care of me. He blesses me. He leads me. He guides me through the worst of time. He comforts me when I'm hurting. My God takes care of me. We say there is no God like Him. Friend, if you've never set your affection on God before, well, let me tell you, there's no God like Him. Oh, there's nobody who won't let you down like God won't let you down. There's nobody who will love you like God loves you. There's nobody who can take care of you like God can take care of you. There's nobody who can understand you and know you like God understands and knows you. There's nobody that can save you, that can forgive you of your sins and cleanse your life and give you freedom and power to live for Him like God can. But today you need to set your affection on Jesus Christ. Today you need to turn to God and believe on Him. Let me tell you, that's a personal decision. It's not something that you've made just by being in church this morning. It's not something that you make just by reading your Bible tomorrow. It's not something you make by praying for the 500th time. It's not something you make by just being a good person and doing good works. You don't become a Christian. You don't set your affection on God just by doing all of those things. Not even by getting in the baptistry and being baptized. The only way that you can for the first time set your affection on God and become a child of God and be saved from your sins is by putting your trust in Him to give you eternal life. The reality is we have failed God. We have sinned against God. But God loves us so much that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried and 3 days later He rose again to offer to us eternal life.
to offer to us forgiveness. To save our souls. And the Bible says in Romans 10 that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, this morning, if you've never believed on Jesus Christ, make that decision. Set your affection on Jesus Christ. He loves you. Oh, Christian, you're here today and maybe your affection for God has waned a little bit. Hey, maybe you got distracted by the things of the world. Maybe you've just been busy with everything going on over the past year or so. And maybe your affection for God has dwindled a little bit. Maybe you say, no, I'm not excited about going to church like I used to be. I don't spend as much time in God's Word. I don't spend as much time in prayer like I used to. Maybe we need to set our affection on God and remember who God is and what He has done for us. Because look, as a Christian, when we get away from God, sometimes we need to go back and look at God and say, you know what? God saved me. God loves me. God took care of me. God blessed me. You know, even though I was a sinner and I was away from God, even though I had done terrible things, thank God He still loved me enough to be my Savior. Is your affection on God this morning? Do you love God? I'm not talking about, do you just say you love God? I'm not talking about, do you just call yourself a Christian? But do you love God like with that obsession we talked about in the beginning? Is your time and your treasure, is your energy focused on God? When we first get saved sometimes, wow, you have an affection for God. You first get saved and you believe on Jesus Christ and everything's so new and you're so thankful for God's salvation. I've heard testimonies of people and they're reading chapters and chapters of the Bible. I've seen people, they just get saved, and man, they're here every single service, and it's not because of the church, it's because they love God. Yeah. Her testimony is of people, they just believe on Jesus Christ for the first time, and they're going out and they're telling everybody they know about Jesus Christ and what He has done for them. Those people, they set their affection on God. Yeah. But you know what happens to all of us? Get a few months, get a few years. Set my affection just on some other things. I got a little distracted. Oh yeah, I'm still going to go to church. I'm going to be there Sunday morning. We're not as excited about being to church like we were when we first got saved. Oh yeah, I could pass out a tract here and there. No, thank you. Thank you for being my waiter, my waitress. Hey, can I give you an invitation to my church? But we don't have to tell everybody like we used to. Oh yeah, God's important. No, it's good to be a Christian. But we're not as excited about the things of God. We're not as focused about God. Coming to church becomes more like a duty than it does of an enjoyment of, I want to hear from God this week. Is your affection on God? Oftentimes our affection grows dim. You know, playing the trumpet? I enjoyed it for a little while. I thought it was fun. I learned to play notes and learned to play some songs. I thought, this is cool. This is kind of fun. I like it. Then after a little while, you know what? My affection just grew darker and dimmer to the point where it's miserable. And sometimes as our Christian life, as we focus so much on all the doing and all the doing and all the doing and all this and this and this and this, and we get our affection, maybe we're looking at things of the world and maybe we're focused just on some temporal things. And our affection for God just gets less and less and less and less. This morning, set your affection first of all, in the person above. Is your heart fixed on God this morning? Do you love spending time with God? Do you come to church because you feel like it will make you closer to God? The person above, but number two this morning, the things above. You know what happens when you set your affection on someone is, You want to know everything about them. You know, when Lauren and I first started dating, you know, when we got to know each other, I set my affection on her. I was interested in her. I wanted to know everything about her. I wanted to enjoy the same things that she enjoyed. I wanted to be with her and do the things that she was doing, even if it was studying homework. I just wanted to be over there with her and studying what she was studying and looking at the same things. Why? Because my affection was on her. So my affection was on the things about her. Getting to know her, asking her questions, spending time with her, learning the things that she's learning, doing the same things.
guys, that's my word, where my heart was.
When we set our affection, first of all, on the person above, we'll start to set our affection on the things of God. Look over at Colossians 3 again and look at verse number 2 again. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. But then we'll stop there. Verse number 5. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the children of God cometh on the children of the wrath of God cometh on the children of obedience, disobedience. In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Why not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which was renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him? What happens when we set our affection on God? Is our affection for the things of this world, our affection for the actions of our flesh, should grow less and less and less. And our love and affection for the things of God, like holiness, like righteousness, like a close walk with God, like living for God, like serving for God, those things should grow more and more and more. These verses, they say, put off the old man. And it lists all of these different things that we would look at and we say, those are sinful. We're supposed to put off sin. When we set our affection on the things of God, we're supposed to set our affection on living for Him. We're supposed to set our affection on becoming more like Jesus Christ. Day after day after day, we would call that sanctification. God has promised that when we believe on Jesus Christ, He will make us more into the image of His Son. But sometimes we don't set our affection on that. Sometimes we say, yeah, I love God. I love being a Christian. But I also like this sin. Yeah, I'll go to church on Sunday mornings, but Monday's a different story. We set our affection not just on God, not just on being a Christian, but also on the very things of God. That we would know Him. Oh, that we would learn more about Him in His Word. Oh, that we would know more about His person and His character. Not just to know them in our mind, but to know them in our hearts and to live them out. We look at these different things. It says, mortify, therefore, your members. It means to put to death or to restrict or to put away, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. It's kind of talking about putting away your flesh. Those actions that would be against God, to put them away. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of obedience. It lists these different sins and it says, put those away. Set your affection on God, set your affection on things above, and let your affection for sin grow less and less and less. But like we talked about, sometimes in the beginning of your Christian walk, sometimes maybe after a period of revival, you love God and you're striving to be more like God. You put away some sin. You say, I'm going to stop lying. I'm going to stop looking at that. I'm going to stop listening to that music. I'm going to stop doing the things that God doesn't want me to do. But then after a few months, we grow dim. After a few months, our love for God begins to just wane a little bit and we spend less time in God's Word and more time in the things of the world. We spend less time following after God. And more time listening to our flesh and doing the things that we feel like doing. What do we have to do? We have to renew our love for not just for God, but for the things of God. Now, do you love doing the things that God would have you to do? God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. God knows that we love Him. We show God our love when we obey His Word. Verse number 8, it says, but put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man. Gives us another list of things to put away. Look, the Christian life is not just, oh yeah, you can just live however you want and everything will be okay. Yes, God loves you how you are. Yes, God loves you with your mistakes. Yes, God loves you with your failures. But God is promising His Word, and God's plan for you as a Christian is that you would grow to be more like Jesus Christ. And that involves getting rid of some sin, getting rid of some things that we should not be doing. And if we're going to set our heart on God, we must take our heart away from the sin that we've enjoyed. The affection for listening to our flesh. The affection for the things that the world loves. The entertainment. Maybe just the inappropriateness of movies and music. Oh, those things must dwindle and dwindle. For love for the things of God is going to grow. Verse number 10, it says, "And put on the new man, which was renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him." Understand that this morning, that when we set our affection on God and we're setting our affection on the things of God, that we put on that new man, which is when we get saved. Jesus Christ gives us a new spirit. He gives us a new being that we can live for God. And Romans 6 teaches that we are then freed from sin. We're no longer the slave or the servant of sin, but instead we can decide to serve God and to live in righteousness and to walk in the Spirit. It says to put off that old man, put on that new man, which is able to serve God. It says, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. How do we set our affection on the things of God? We renew our knowledge after the image of God. We spend more time with God. We spend more time studying the Word of God. We spend more time memorizing verses. We spend more time going to Bible studies and coming to church and hearing from God. Oftentimes, as Christians, as those who've grown up in church, sometimes we feel like, I know it all already. Really, if you think about it, it's kind of a silly thing to say. There's so much in God's Word that we don't know. There's so much about God that we will never understand. But oh, we should be growing to know more. Not just know more mentally, but also to know more in action. And let me tell you, I grew up, for the most part, going to church. I spent 4.5 years at Bible colleges. There's so much about God's Word I don't know, but let me tell you, there's even more about God's Word that I don't just know mentally, but I don't know practically. We want to have to put it in practice. We have to get beyond just learning about God on Sundays and learning about God on Wednesdays. We have to get in practice of learning about God every day of the week by learning from His Word, but also by putting things into practice. And I said, growing up, I liked playing sports. I enjoyed it. I had to learn if I wanted to be good at baseball, is that I'd go to practice and my coach would tell me to work on some things. But if I just worked on it in practice, I wasn't going to be that good. If I just worked on it every time I was there at the baseball field, whether it was for a practice or for a game, it wasn't going to be as good as it should be. I learned is I had to go home and I had to work on the things that my coach told me. I had to put it into practice every day. I had to go out there and swing the bat. I had to go out there and throw the ball. I had to go out there and take grounders and take pop flies. I had to learn to put those things into practice. And because my affection was on those sports, it was easy for me. Oh man, I didn't care to do my homework too much. I zipped right through that. But I could spend hours outside with a baseball glove and a baseball because I loved it. I loved putting it into practice every day. I loved putting in that work. It was enjoyable. You know what happens for us as Christians? Yeah, we like coming to church on Sunday and seeing everybody and singing some songs and hearing a message. But when Monday comes, we don't really like to think about it again. Think about that sermon or think about what we learned in Sunday school and to actually put it into practice. I've learned something about myself is, I like learning new things. I like playing sports. I like learning different things about some things. But what I don't necessarily care for sometimes is writing it down and working on it the next day. It's taking to heart what I've learned and trying to put it into practice every single day. And as a Christian, I'm working on that. I'm trying to learn how to better do that. Where I hear something maybe pastor has preached on Sunday and not just listening to it and saying, oh, that sounds good. I need to make that decision. But then writing it on a card or writing it down somewhere or putting it in my phone and trying to work on that every day of the week. What is that? That's sanctification. That's following after Jesus Christ. You know what? We won't do that if our affection isn't on God. If our affection, if our life is more just about coming to church and looking good, then we won't follow God every day of the week. If our heart is not focused on God, if our treasure, our time and our energy is not about loving God supremely and loving the things of God, then we won't try to grow more each day of the week to be more like Jesus Christ. That's something we all need. That's the one way we all need to grow. And praise God. We're all growing. We're growing at different rates. But let's just continue to strive, not just to grow because it's out of duty, not just to memorize those verses because we have to, not just to listen to Scripture and do our devotions because we have to, but to love it because we love God. Set your affection, first of all, on the person of God. Set your affection, second of all, on the things of God. And then lastly this morning, set your affection on the purpose of God. Above. What really matters? You know, that really determine what gets our focus. The things that we really, really care about will get our time, our treasure, our energy. It will get our affection. And the things that we love, those are the things that we will be all about. I remember in high school, my parents were trying to help me learn and make some wise decisions. Even in middle school and growing up, my parents worked hard to try and help me see what matters. Just continuing with the sports illustration. You know, for me, sports was a big deal. Talked about baseball. Baseball was probably the sport I played the most, put in the most time, I loved the most. I mean, I was into it 24/7. Remember, I think it was right after my sixth grade year, I was playing baseball for our city. I was playing baseball for my elementary school, and I was about 12 years old, just kind of getting into those teenage years. And I remember the year before, I really, really, really wanted to play for the All-Star team. And I was good enough, and my dad was the coach, and I think I had done something at home, got in trouble, and my dad said, yeah, I'm not going to let you try out for All-Stars. I was like, okay, I had messed up, okay. And then it was my sixth grade year, I'd been really good, I tried to do my best to play for the All-Star team, I went and I tried out, and I made the team. I was really excited, and we were going to different tournaments and different practices and games, and I was having the time of my life playing baseball. You know, what happens as you get older is sports gets put on Sundays and Wednesdays. We was there and I was practicing, and for the most part, our tournaments had been on Saturdays and we hadn't had any issues. And then we got to a tournament. It was actually a home tournament. I was really excited. It was close to home. We were going to play some games. I was supposed to get some good playing time. I was really, really, really looking forward to it. And then our coach said, the tournament's going to start on Sunday at 10 o'clock. Yeah, for me, I didn't think too much about it. But yeah, I'm going to play my baseball tournament. It's just one Sunday. No big deal. I was looking forward, I was practicing, I was putting in that work, I was really excited about it, and then I remember my parents sitting me down. They said, Arthur, you can go to your baseball tournament after church Sunday morning. Yeah, it made me think. It made me stop right there. Think about it. And then most likely he said something along the lines of, you know what, in the grand scheme of things, Arthur, God is so much more important than a baseball game. Being there, no, I wanted to be there that day. Remember showing up to the tournament after church. And my coach was a little bit upset that I had missed those games. I didn't get to play a whole lot the rest of the day. But you know what? It was worth it because my parents taught me a lesson that day. That God was so much more important than what had my heart at that time of life. Let me tell you, what you think is important will get your time and your energy. What has our affection and what has our heart, that will get our effort. whether it's God or whether it's something else, where your time, where your treasure, where your energy is, that is what you love. What you think really matters is what you set your affection on. And I had to learn a lesson that day that my affection for God could not be less than my affection for baseball. Yeah, you may have an affection for different things that are not bad, that are perfectly fine, but your affection for God must be supreme. Why? Because it matters about the purpose above. Why do we set our affection on God? Because the things of God and the purposes of God are what matters. Let's think about what matters. Jesus and His glory matters more than my own wants. Knowing God and being closer to God should matter so much more to me than any trip or any game. Reaching the lost for Jesus Christ should matter more than some embarrassment or some awkwardness. Getting rid of sin and getting right with God should matter so much more to me than some humiliation or my pride. Following and obeying God's Word and God's will should matter so much more to me than just doing what I want to do. It's God's purposes. Oh, that people would receive Jesus Christ. That our friends and that our family members and that our community would make that decision to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. That should matter to us. Oh, that coming to church and that worshiping God and singing to God and praising God. That should matter to us. Getting in the book every single day and spending time on our knees and learning more about God and growing closer to God. That is one of the purposes of God above, and that should matter to us. Why? Because the things below be gone like that. Some of these little things that matter so much to us, when we stand before God, they really won't matter. When we see Jesus Christ face to face, our hobbies won't matter. But that family member who needs to know about Jesus Christ will matter. Yes. Oh, when we're in heaven and we see God's glory, a little bit of extra rest or a little bit of extra fun really won't matter. But the fact that we lived our life for God will matter. When we stand before God, and that sin that's in your life, that music, that apathy, that anger, that wrath, that bitterness, it really won't matter. But to hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," that will matter. Set your affection on the purposes above. Is your affection on things above? Do you love the purposes of God? Hey, do you love telling other people about Jesus Christ? Because that is God's will. Do you love drawing near to God? Because that's God's will for your life. That's His purpose for you. Do you love bringing God honor and glory, whether it's through worship or whether it's through telling somebody else about Him? Do you love it? Or is it just a duty? Do other things here on this earth matter more to you than the purposes of God? You sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." We sing, "I love You, Lord." We sing, "I surrender all." We say, "I'm a Christian and I love Jesus Christ." But does He really have your heart? What has your heart this morning? I tell you, sometimes we struggle with that. Sometimes I struggle with that. A little bit of fun may have my heart sometimes more than God has my heart. A little bit of extra sleep or relaxation sometimes has my heart more than God has my heart. So my own pride or self-righteousness has my heart more than God has my heart. Hey, there are times when sin has our hearts more than God has our hearts. Set your affection on things above. Friend, if you're here today and never put your trust in Jesus Christ, let me tell you, you can set your affection on Jesus. There is a God who loves you unconditionally. There's a God who died and sacrificed Himself for your sins. There's a God who is all-powerful that rose again from the grave. And He offers to you eternal life. He offers to you forgiveness. He offers to you salvation freely if you'll believe on Him. Today, set your affection on Jesus Christ for the first time. Become a Christian.
Believe on God. Put your trust in Him.
If you're a Christian, your affection on things of the world, then on things of God. Are you consumed with being more like Jesus Christ? By putting off things of the world. By putting off sin. By putting on the new man. By growing closer to Him. Your affection on your purposes below. What you want to do. Your hopes. Your dreams. Hey, your ambitions. Your goals. Your material possessions. Is your affection on the purposes of God? People being saved. People growing to be more like Jesus Christ. You yourself growing to be more like Jesus Christ. God receiving honor and glory. What I can share a little bit is sometimes we hear those testimonies of new Christians. An old man, they love getting into the Word of God. They love telling other people about Jesus Christ. They have to be at church every time the doors are open. Why? Because their heart and their affection is on Jesus Christ. It's something they don't just have to do out of duty, but they do because they just can't get over what God has done for them. Because of how much they love God. But often what happens is our love for God grows less and less. And the love for things of this world grows more and more. Today, do you need to renew your affection for God? Today, do you maybe need to get rid of some of your love for things of this world and tell God that you need to work on loving Him more? Every head bowed and every eye closed.